name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Once the people of Israel had crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land, it still remained to them, even though that land had been given to them. It was the Promised Land for them to go and to live in and to abide in, to make their own, to be the people of God in. That Promised Land still needed to be possessed by the people. It needed to be made into the people's own land. It's the same thing when we buy a house, especially a house that has been built and lived in by someone else. It takes a long time for us to make that house into our home, and for the Promised Land to be the home of the people of Israel, they had to take possession of that Promised Land. They had to fight enemies. They had to fight off the wild animals that were in control of that land. They had to domesticate that land and fulfill that land that had been given to them. And the work of doing that changed not just the land, but the people themselves, because it was the doing of that taking possession of the land that truly made them the people of God. And this they did by following the leadership of Joshua. And we have, having crossed the Jordan, having passed the time of the baptism of Christ and our own baptism and repentance, and having come to the time of our majority, the time when we need to take possession of the land that is within us and the time that is ours to live in the world. And it's only by following the one who is the fulfillment of the promise of Joshua, whose name is so closely related to the name of Jesus, that we can take possession of that land. Through the leadership of Christ, the lands of passion and desire can be rightly divided and apportioned within us, so that this land within us, this kingdom of God that is within us, can be the place of peace and joy and fulfillment that God means the life inside of us to be. It's only by following the leadership of Christ that we can accomplish this task of taking possession of the land. And in order to take possession of the land, in order to make the life within us into the place where we live at one with God, with Him as the King of the Promised Land, live as Christians, no matter what is going on in the world, in order for that to happen, we have to have the willingness and the desire and the longing for it to happen. It doesn't happen by itself, because we know that it is for us as human beings to work in synergy with God in order that we might take possession of the Promised Land of the heavenly kingdom that is within us. The battle has been won. The Promised Land has been given. Christ has baptized Himself into our life so that we can baptize ourselves into His life, and all of that has been done. But still we must have the willingness to work with Him, to rightly divide the places of passion and desire within us rightly as they ought to be, to make our inner lives a place of justice, of apportionment. Justice, what does it mean? Justice means to have everything within us in its place, so that all of the passions and desires that God has given us are passions and desires for the things that are good and true and noble and beautiful. They are all minor ways of loving and desiring God. Loving and desiring to be able to know other human beings as the image and likeness of God. All of this is the way it is in the kingdom of heaven, the promised land that has been won for us and given to us that we might share it with the King, Jesus the Christ. Now, that willingness, that desire, that longing, it can only be, once it's been awakened, a continuing willingness and desire and passion to live that life by way of daily prayer, that the passion and the desire for life to take possession of the kingdom of God, the heaven that is within us, is not overwhelmed by the world outside, is not overwhelmed by the tricks of the enemy, is not overwhelmed by simply the lack of passion and desire to do the work of living itself. There is a kind of faker inside of us, an ego, that has nothing to do with doing the work that needs to be done. Nothing to do with the joy of making all of the encounters in our life and all of the work that we do into examples of the presence of the kingdom of God within us so that our lives can receive the fulfillment that Christ has won and made possible for us. The ego is not interested in doing any of that. The ego is a faker. The ego never accomplishes anything. The ego is lazy. The ego is a poser. The ego pretends that it works. It pretends after work has been accomplished, after we've gone through that time when we've forgotten all about ourselves, and we bear down finally and apply our abilities to whatever task is at hand, and we disappear into the work, and God, seeing our zealousness to do good work, comes and cooperates in synergy along with us. Once the work is finished and we look at it and we're amazed that we were even able to participate in the accomplishment of any good work, then the ego comes onto the stage. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. And the reality is that the ego was not involved in any of the accomplishment of that good work. It is simply a vain poser. And it encourages us to go out into the world and to pretend, and to give it the opportunity to pretend that it somehow is the leader, that it somehow has been the source of all of the work that we could only have done by humility and submitting our abilities into the hands of God, and without hardly any self-consciousness whatsoever, accomplished work that is beyond what we ever thought we could do. That is how creative work always is. And the ego is always coming in at the end to pretend that it had some kind of involvement. And if we listen to that false God that tries to set itself up within us, we will never accomplish the task of taking possession of the land that was promised and has been given to us. We will never be about the work of dealing with the animal-like and low passions and desires, keeping them at bay. We will never be able to reject the false gods. As Joshua says when he speaks to his people, that were in the land of Egypt, that God delivered them from domination by, or the gods of the land in which we now live. Outside us, there are all of the gods of ancient days, taken form again in the contemporary clothing of all of the new things that are available to us. that appeal to our ego, that build up that false posing sense that wants to take credit where it hasn't accomplished anything. It takes technology and it says, look what I have done. Look what I can do with this, my computer. Even though, did I make the computer? Did I imagine the computer? Did I write the programs? We're following programs. And the ego tells us, because in the context of computer life, the ego is king. The ego is a being appealed to all of the time, that old poser. And if we let this happen, then we never go about the business of taking possession of the land that has been given to us. Within this understanding of the shape and the content of our spiritual lives as they actually are, let us now hear these words that Joshua gave to his people once they had crossed the Jordan and the time came to take possession of the promised land. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in justice and righteousness. Remove the foreign gods your fathers served on the other side of the river, that is across the Jordan, in the Egypt of lust and the vain lording it over others, and instead serve the Lord. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, choose gods for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of those among whom you dwell in this land. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, because he is holy. And the people said, far be it from us to forsake the Lord so as to serve other gods. The Lord is our God. He is God. He brought us and our fathers from Egypt, and he has preserved us on the whole journey. As for us, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. You cannot serve the Lord by sin, for the Lord is a holy God. Think on sin and you will have no peace. Whenever you forsake the Lord and serve other gods in your heart, he shall deal harshly with you. And after he has done you no good, he will consume you from within yourselves. Then the people said, no, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Go therefore and remove the foreign gods from among you, and make your heart straight toward the Lord. Again the people said, we will serve the Lord and obey his voice. So Joshua established a covenant with the people on that day. We have crossed the Jordan, and we have made our covenant with Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.